ask Ira a few questions. And I know, Ira, you've been here at the Heartland Labor Forum in the past talking about the economy and the federal budget priorities and military spending. What has changed in recent weeks with the deficit deal, Standard & Poor's credit rating, and the stock market crash?
First, it needs to be clearly stated that the deficit debate and the deficit ceiling crisis were manufactured. They were distractions from what our leaders should have been focusing on. The focus should have been on fixing the economy, addressing the causes of the recession, and creating good jobs and saving the jobs of educators, government workers, and others. To begin to answer this question, let me quote some economists and leaders from those who have seen through the haze and the spin of misinformation around these issues. First, Paul Krugman, a winner of the Nobel Prize in Economics and Princeton University professor of economics, warned, I quote, "The worst thing you can do in these circumstances is slash government spending, since that will depress the economy even further. Pay no attention to those who invoke the confidence fairy, claiming that tough action on the budget will reassure government and consumers. Reassure business and consumers, leading them to spend more. It doesn't work that way. A fact confirmed by many studies of the historical record." And Lawrence Mischel, president of the Economic Policy Institute, commented, "This proposed debt ceiling deal tentatively concludes a needlessly manufactured crisis and will do great harm to our nation. The debt we are undertaking now and scheduled to undertake over the next 10 years is solely the product of past decisions, primarily unfunded wars, an underfunded prescription drug benefit, and two rounds of tax cuts under the George W. Bush administration, and the recession-related revenue losses caused by the financial crisis." And finally, our local representative to Congress, Congressman Emanuel Cleaver, graphically described the deal, saying, "This is a sugar-coated Satan sandwich. If you lift the bun, you will not like what you see. The debt deal is antithetical to everything the great religions of the world teach, which is take care of the poor, aged, the vulnerable."
And you think we should be concerned about the Standard & Poor's credit rating and stock market crash?
I'd like to refer listeners to an August 9th interview on NPR by Steve Inskeep with Congressman Barney Frank. I want to do this because Frank is very clear in his statements, but also to expose how even the supposedly liberal NPR goes along with the misguided framing of this crucial issue. Inskeep asked Frank about his opinion on the S&P credit downgrade, beginning with the proposal that the United States has, quote, "a serious long-term problem with deficits and debt." Frank acknowledged a long-term problem, the one which did not threaten default. He rejected the premise outright that it was a crisis needing immediate attention. Instead, he proposed a modest revenue increase, quote, "that if you're making more than $250,000 in taxable income, that for the government to get another $30 out of every additional $1,000 will have no negative impact on you or the economy and can help us reduce the deficit without savage cuts to the environment and highways." He went on to note that, quote, there is another area that I would hope we could get some agreement on. That's telling the rest of the world that they can no longer count on America to be their military budget, their policeman. I would begin by withdrawing from Iraq and Afghanistan at a cost of $125 billion a year." Finally, when Inskeep proposed that the biggest part of the federal budget is entitlements, Franks corrected him. that the defense budget was larger than Medicare, and that Social Security is self-financing. He further declared, "I am not going to tell an 80-year-old woman living on $19,000 a year that she gets no cost of living, or that a man who has been doing physical labor all his life is now at a 67-year-old retirement, which is where Social Security will be soon, that he has to work 4 or 5 more years." From this interview, you can see how the focus of the debate has moved away from the causes of the recession, away from job creation and military spending, which makes up 60% of the proposed FY 2012 discretionary budget, and away from increasing revenue.
So how has the debate been shifted from these things, these important things, to the deficit debate?
It is very perplexing that the right has been so successful at selling the media and the public, that the deficit is the central problem, dragging out of mothballs the failed trickle-down economics of what's good for the rich, for the corporations, is good for everyone. It is also perplexing that there was not more leadership on the left, or really the center, to reframe the issue to reflect our real problems. In a recent article entitled "Why the President Doesn't Present a Bold Plan to Create Jobs and Jumpstart the Economy," Robert Reich, professor of public policy at UC Berkeley and Secretary of Labor under President Clinton, outlines the problem. The answer he offers to the question in his article is politics. Reich reports that the White House political operatives have advised against a bold jobs plan because they do not believe anything but a watered-down, ineffectual version could be passed. They have predicted that the public won't understand the need for increased near-term government spending as a way to put people back to work. They believe Republicans will use this against the Obama administration in the next election. Reich reports that is why the administration accepts the deficit fight and for a politically wiser course.
So what can we do now?
Some see this overstepping by the right as finally an opportunity to reinvigorate the left to rise up and counter the massive political speech of the corporations and the rich.
The AFL-CIO
Executive Council last week released a statement, "Fake Political Crisis and Real Economic Crisis, A Call for Leadership and for Action." In their statement, they documented the failures of our economy and its impact on workers. They speak to the failure of the Republican and the Democratic leadership. They realize that there is no way to fund what, this is a quote, "there's no way to fund what we must do as a nation without bringing our troops home from Iraq and Afghanistan. The militarization of our foreign policy has proven to be a costly mistake. It is time to invest at home." They further see that, quote, "our unfair and inadequate tax system is at heart, the heart of what is wrong with our economy and our society." They recognize that we cannot build a future by watered down bad ideas. They are calling for a partnership with our community allies at the local and national level, as well as for our state federations and labor councils to build to a national week of action in early October. That focus on demand for good jobs and demonstrations in communities all across the country. The American Friends Service Committee in Kansas City will work with the AFL-CIO on this project as we're able, and we invite you to be involved in a Move the Money campaign to educate the public about federal budget priorities and work to cut military spending and increase funding for jobs, human and community needs. Contact us at afsc.org, Kansas City, or call us at 816-931-5256.
Thank you, Ira.